Hello everyone, welcome to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for what He's doing and how He's doing it. God is wise and all of His ways work. The Lord is good, and He's been doing this a long time. His plan is consistent. The plan of the Lord is consistent from the time that He first revealed to Adam that the seed of woman would come. The Lord has always had to divide the light from the darkness. When we first met Him in Genesis, He said, "Let there be light." And He divided the light from the darkness. The Lord is still doing so. Everyone who receives His word and obeys His word, they do the same thing that He does. They become what He is. An extension of Him. As we receive the Word of God, the Word of God is described as a sharp two-edged sword. As we receive the Word of God in our heart and obey it and live according to the standards of the Word and live the Word, our whole life, as we have a single eye looking unto the Lord, our whole life becomes that same sharp two-edged sword, and we divide light from darkness by the way we live, by the way we love, by the way we carry ourselves, the way we do His word. We become an extension of Him, an image of God. We live an image of God, like we're designed to do, as we receive His word and do His word. So why should our ministry be any different? If the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, the Holy Spirit revealed the Word of God. The heart of the Father is revealed to man. Now, what we have to do as we obey the Lord and do things His way, we operate in perfect wisdom, not partial wisdom. You know, man wants to... There's an influence by the enemy to do wrong, to hinder, to work against what God is doing. So, the last website broadcast, we were talking about how Saul did, and one before that we read about how he betrayed the will of God. He brought the king of Amalek. He brought him back alive. He was supposed to kill him. This was a deadly enemy. This enemy was so deadly. For the Lord to tell them to kill everyone, the women, the children, the men, everybody, that was a reason for it. The Lord was protecting the covenant He made with Father Abraham. See, when He made that covenant, that covenant was established. Abraham offered his only begotten son. And the Lord said He would offer His only begotten son. And the Lord saw a storm coming through that nation. And He destroyed that nation. And they had to destroy that nation. They were supposed to destroy all the Canaanites in the first place. They were supposed to drive them out or kill them. And see, people say, well, that's mean. I'm going to tell you what's worse. The enemy already did something to destroy the first generation by having angels marry women. And their offspring became something God couldn't use to send the seed. He was trying to destroy the possibility of Christ coming. And that was all, you know. After that happened, man went south. They became so violent. All they thought about was violence and pride and lust. And they sought out the strange flesh. Women marrying women, or women with women, as they would be with a man with man. That's not normal, folks. That's Satan's trump card. Homosexuality of every, and even fornication and adultery, all those things. But homosexuality, it's not close to being natural. That's something that puts your life under Satan's foot. It is deadly. It is wrong. And then what happens to your influence? Your influence becomes satanic. So that, you know, and you know, politicians these days, they want votes. They don't care nothing about what's right. They'll sanction something that evil and go along with it to get votes. And sometimes they are satanic. And it's wrong. The Lord destroyed nations because of this thing. But the Lord does things right. And if you think that killing the Amalekites was mean, he's about to come back. When he comes back, he's not coming back to as a baby. He's coming back to take the earth back. He's going to judge the earth. First, the rapture is going to come. And he's going to take his people out of the way so he can judge the earth for rejecting Jesus. And then he's going to set up a kingdom here. And he's going to destroy all evil, all of it, everywhere. The day is coming, you'll look for an evil man and won't be able to find one because they're going to be dead. Because he can't let... It's just like cancer in your body. The doctors have to cut it out or it will consume your body. Well, same thing with sin. You have to cut it out or it will consume the earth. That's why the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, to divide what's right from what's wrong, what's light from darkness, what's of God from what's not of God. And in this division, people are making choices. They're either sticking to the world or they're reaching out to God. And when they reach out to God, the Lord can save them. And it's important. So Saul let the Amalekite live. He let the Amalekite king live, and he let the people take the best of the stock away, the cattle. And that's how he got fired. Now after this happened, he didn't just leave the stop being king because God fired him. He was trying to stay in power. Now this is 1 Samuel chapter 18. It says, "And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands. And then the other group would answer back, and David his 10,000s. And David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, that to me have they ascribed but thousands. But what can he have more but the kingdom? Now watch this verse. And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Remember, Saul didn't know who the king was. David's already anointed to be king. And when you're anointed, you have God's ability to reign. You have God's ability to perform the sanction that God anointed you for, which was being the king. And David behaved himself wisely. And Saul was afraid of it. Now watch verse 9. And Saul eyed David from that day on. He was watching David. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now David's playing the harp. That's why I said David played with his hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David unto the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. He went from being a man of honor. When we first met Saul, he was being industrious. He was finding his father's donkeys, his asses. And he brought the matter to Samuel, the prophet. He was anointed king. But now he's trying to destroy David. This is what wickedness will do. It will turn you. It will compromise you. It will cause you to be something you never intended and something God never intended. This was bad. You know, in modern times do the same thing. Some men get jealous of others and they work wickedness. And it doesn't matter, even though they were anointed to do something, if you turn from your purpose to work wickedness, you become the opposite of what you were when God anointed you. And it's dangerous to do that. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. See, when there's pride, there's also fear. Men that get in pride, they will become treacherous because they're going to get in fear. People who get in fear are in torment. And you cannot trust people when they get in fear. They will betray you or their purpose in the first place. They'll betray God. Fear is an evil gift. That's why God didn't give us the spirit of fear. That's an evil condition to be in. And now watch what... Now Saul's trying to come up with a conspiracy against David. It gets worse. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merib, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistine be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life? Or who are my father's family in Israel, that I should be the son-in-law of the king? Now, back in those days, people respected classes of people. And people still do. I don't. That's dumb. God made everybody in his image. God made everybody, every person in his image. Some are wise, some are foolish, but they were made in his image. And I don't believe in looking up to some and looking down on others. Because God doesn't do it. And when you're in the Lord's presence, That's, you know, I know some people are foolish. You can't trust them to do certain things. And some people are wise. They're industrious. They do things in a better way. But everybody has the same potential in Christ. So I try to treat people with the same respect that I treat everybody with. The same love, the same respect. Letting them know you can do whatever you want to do. You don't have, you can go as far as you want to go in life. But anyway, that's what David said. And this was the persuasion of the land. This is how people thought. And they still think of kings as being better people. Kings are just people. Prophets are just people. They're God anointed. They have God's anointing. And I thank God for it. I encourage people to be as faithful as they can with what God gives. Well, whatever stage of life you're in, be faithful. And it can multiply into something very great. And that's how I like to carry myself. That's what I believe in doing. I don't believe in treating people low or high. Just with love. Whoever you are, I love you. Now do something with your life. Anyway, verse 19. But it came to pass in the time when Mary, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Maholathite, to wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, that thou shalt this day be my son-in-law, in the one of the twain. And Saul commanded his servant, saying, commune with David secretly, and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore, be this king's son-in-law. And Saul's servant spake those words in the ears of David, and David said, seemeth it to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing that I am a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, saying, on this manner spake David. And Saul said, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. Saul was working mischief. He wanted him to marry his younger daughter because he knew that she could possibly be a snare to him. Some women won't grow up. They're not mature. They're very needy and they're immature. And this is what I get from reading this. Saul saw something in his daughter that would have been a snare to David. And if you have a position like a king or a captain over 1,000, you're going to be busy. You're not going to be able to go home every day. You're going to have to be, you know, doing training and doing things like that. And a needy person will weigh you down and aggravate your life. I'm not trying to be mean enough. That's just the way, that's what Saul had in his mind. Now, the older daughter was more understanding. And she would have been a blessing to him. But this younger daughter would have been a snare. So Saul thought. And people know their children and how they are. And he's using Michal to be a snare to David. Now it didn't work, but that's what he had in his mind. And then when David wanted to pay the dowry by killing the Philistines, You know, first Saul said, I don't want any dowry, but then he had him to do something dangerous in hopes he'll get killed. Anyway, verse 26, and when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be king, to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And the king gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. And the princes of the Philistines went forth. And it came to pass, after they went forth, and David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much said by. In chapter 19, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. Now he went from secretly working mischief, trying to put David in danger. Now it's coming out of his mouth. Kill him. Openly, he openly asked Jonathan and to kill David. He went from secret mischief to saying, to telling others to kill him. He tried to kill him privately, then he tried to have him killed, and now he's saying to other people, because what's in your heart will come out. It's the same thing with the church of Laodicea. They take an evil position and they start speaking it. They are God's enemies. They're not hot nor cold. They don't love God like they should, and they love the world like they shouldn't. But they still have the same positions that they hold. They probably started out good like Saul, but they went bad. And this put the Lord in an awkward position, because now people are saying that they, his people, are actually his enemies. And when the rapture comes, he's got to leave them here. He said he was going to spit them out of his mouth. In other words, they're going to have a mind to continue in their wrong. They're not going to repent. They're going to be hardened in their pride, and they won't repent. And the Holy Spirit helps us repent. When we get into sins, and the Holy Spirit convicts us, and we don't want to be in sin, we cry out. That's the Holy Spirit helping us to come back. But when they do it, they resist that, and they resist it again. And after a while, the Holy Spirit stops. He doesn't have anything to work with. He has no more light in them to work with. And their hearts get hardened, and they stay in sin, and the enemy uses them like a puppet with whatever status they have attained. Now let's go back to, I think it's chapter 17. Yeah. Here it is, chapter 16. This is when David first got anointed. And the Lord said to Samuel, now this is after Samuel had left Saul, saying that he would be fired, that God was going to anoint somebody else that's better than him. All right, chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and gold, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint him, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons. Sanctified means set apart. And called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, and he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on his height, or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Remember that, because the Lord looks at your heart. He sees something in your heart. Others look at your stature and the way you look, how beautiful or how strong you look. Verse 8, Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shema to pass by. And he said, Neither has the Lord chosen this. It's like the Lord didn't want them at all. This, he said, the Lord hadn't chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. You know, he's the red-headed child left out to tend the sheep while the prophet came. Anyway, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went up to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Now, this evil spirit was a devil that wanted to trouble Saul. And Saul, being in rebellion, it was allowed for him to trouble him. This was one way God got David in the king's house. Because now they're looking for somebody to play the harp. So the evil spirit will leave Saul. Saul said to his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, Send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid, and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. See, when you're in fear, there's torment. Everybody who gets in fear, they get in torment. Great torment, depression, problems. And David played music, and the evil spirit would depart. There's no way to live. Why not just go live in the total plan of God? Be as faithful, be totally faithful, having a single eye toward the Lord. You don't have to suffer under any, you know, pride leads to this. Pride, lust, greed, they all lead to this kind of sorrow. When you get in pride, you're going to get in fear and unbelief. It leads to a negative end. But as you obey God, you have the joy of the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to teach and train and bless the people that want to know him. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.